school. I'm sure you don't remember me.
And now it's been 10 years. I'm still wondering who to be. And I'd love to mix in circles, cliques, and social coteries. That's me.
Hand me my nose ring.
Can we be happy?
Show me the mosh pit.
Can we be
KBOO Portland. Hello and welcome to The Underground, hosted by The Youth Collective. Yay! I am Ryan, and I will be your tour guide for a short segment of this evening. The theme of this month is products and consumerism, and all sorts of things associated with that, like stuff and things and money. And, as a matter of fact, one of those stuff and things and money that we are associated with is Kickstarter. And we're going to have a piece about Kickstarter. And it's going to be super duper awesome. You ready for this?
Ready to kickstart it?
Let's do it.
Have you ever heard of websites like Indiegogo or Kickstarter? They are cool websites about new products. Their purpose is to find new businesses and ideas presented by everyday people. Basically, how it works is you go online to one of these websites and find something you're interested in and fund it. But the benefits are when you are a grantee to a Kickstarter or Indiegogo account, you can receive different things related to the product depending on donation tiers. Like perhaps if I donate $1, I may receive a sticker from the product. If I donate $5, I may get a t-shirt. If I donate $50, I could even receive the product itself. These websites are filled with creative, interesting, and even innovative ideas or inventions that need people to help them get bigger. But every once in a while, you'll find some odd, and sometimes maybe even shady accounts. You'll also find strange ideas or peculiar or useless items that make no sense at all. Here are some of the examples of what I'm talking about. First up is a man named Zach Danger Brown, who before Kickstarter worked as a developer who created apps and websites at his self-owned company, Base2. Now you're probably thinking to be a software developer, so he may have created some strange app wrong. Zach Brown's story is about potato salad. 2 years ago, on July 3rd, Zach's Kickstarter was launched. His goal was $35. His final income after 2 years is $55,492, with a total of 6,911 backers, all for potato salad. Due to the amount of money he has accumulated, he's written and hopefully published a potato salad cookbook that we should be seeing soon. He has also put together a large potato salad party for all of the people who have donated to his account. Number two is actually coming from an Indiegogo account. It at first was what I thought might be an alright idea, but upon more thought, coffee is enough to start the day energized and ready. I'm talking about caffeinated toothpaste. You may not like the bitter taste of coffee, and energy drinks are full of chemicals, but to caffeinate toothpaste would be ridiculous. First of all, wouldn't this mean that for the caffeine to work, you would have to ingest it? And for anyone who brushes their teeth, which should be all of you, you know that that would make you puke. Second of all, brushing your teeth is something you do at night. So does that mean that you have to buy two different tubes of toothpaste? Then what happens when one runs out before the other? You would either have to go to bed energetic or unbrushed. And what if the caffeinated tube runs out first? You have to buy coffee or an energy drink prior to waking up. Anyway, enough ranting. Let's finally explain this product. Even after these facts, this product has managed to raise $21,521 with a total of 314 backers in 11 days. That's only half his goal. But there seems to be no more description other than the fact that this is toothpaste with caffeine. Enough said there, I guess. This next one is a bit sad due to the fact that it is a truly good product that made a lot of money, $3 million to be exact. But it's also quite aggravating because they abandoned the backers that made them so much money in the first place. The product is called the Coolest Cooler. The Coolest Cooler is a product that they say is a party disguised as a cooler. It does everything you need in one, meaning it's a blender, speaker, and, well, obviously, a cooler. The sad thing is that there was not enough product to feed the backers, so they turned to Amazon to raise money. This made loads of fans angry and upset with this record-breaking, innovative product that was going to make everyone's lives easier. It's insane to think that the most interesting, famous, and successful Kickstarter failed so badly. Sometimes you can be too successful. Anyway, even though there are some terrible companies, Kickstarters, and products, doesn't mean that you should never attempt one of these websites. I suggest you find the one that interests you and you decide for yourself.
Thanks, Quentin. That was Quentin, by the way. So you know. Now we're going to go over to Jean to introduce this next lovely piece.
And hello, my name is Jean. And now we go to Ryan's lovely piece, an ad about stuff.
For centuries, people have searched for the perfect thing. A material that can do anything, make anything. Durable, versatile, powerful, moldable. The search has been unsuccessful. Until now. UniversaCorp, the shining star in the darkness of the apocalypse, has designed a revolutionary new product that will change the world. Its name? Stuff. That's right, stuff is the material of the future. What does it do? Simple. It does stuff. Stuff can be used to make all sorts of products, from plates to car parts to trees. It can be modified by our scientists to model any other material, even ones that don't exist. Have you ever wanted a purpley-green metallic velvet? Well, that isn't possible, but we are working on it. You may be wondering, what exactly is stuff made of? It's an understandable concern. Here at UniversaCorp, the shining star in the darkness of the apocalypse, we want to keep our children safe from toxic chemicals. Luckily, we can tell you with complete certainty that stuff may or may not be toxic. But that doesn't answer the question, you cry at the radio. Well, the ingredients that make up stuff are a trade secret, but we can tell you that its main ingredient is none other than stuff. Yes, stuff. It's so amazing, even we sometimes can't believe it. Now, I'm sure you're all wondering how to get your hands on some of our stuff. For the low, low price of the control of your government, we can continue our development of this magical substance. Perhaps, if we're lucky, we'll be done with research by 2170, and stuff will hit the shelves 30 years after that. Until then, remember, you can't spell stuff without stuff.
Side effects of stuff may include upset stomach, uncontrollable weight loss, depression, liver problems, heart problems, breathing problems, hair loss, the inability to see the color yellow, addiction, memory problems, internal youth, irritability, memory problems, the untimely death of loved ones, high blood pressure, getting my job, criminal behavior, allergic reactions, disco fever, dry mouth, loss of hearing, loss of vision, loss of taste, loss of smell, loss of brain matter, internal bleeding, memory problems, and rashes. If you experience any of these symptoms, stop using stuff and call a doctor right away.
Thanks, Ryan. That was really cool. No problem, Ryan. You know, you're pretty attractive. I know, Ryan. So are you. Sorry, I'm flattered by Ryan right now. Next up, we have an awesome piece about hunger and homelessness, which is a very big deal. So we're going to turn it over to this next piece. Here we go, next piece.
Welcome to the KBOO Youth Collective. Hi, I'm Hunter Gray. Oregon and our community leaders convey the impression that all is perfect. Well, we're currently facing a problem in our nation called hunger. Millions and counting suffer from it daily, worldwide. There's also another problem, homelessness. Homeless camps are multiplying daily. For instance, Burnside Street alone has an increasing amount of occupants under and on the Burnside Bridge. The homeless are facing hunger. Homelessness and hunger know each other well, like peanut butter and jelly. It's not like you could go to a shelter willy-nilly. You have to go on a waiting list. Spaces are very limited, so waiting time may take up to 3 months. When you're homeless, there is no eating good food. There's garbage cans or charitable food services. I talk about these issues because my mother, siblings, and I have experienced hunger and homelessness. I also say these because I want to spread awareness and reach out to the community. Love you. It was grueling. We were hungry hotel hoppers. My brothers and I fought over the littlest bit of food we got. I had to work really hard at my grandparents' just for one night's dinner. The hotels we stayed at were in shabby areas, such as Sandy Boulevard, no offense to those living there. Because of our situation, my 7-year-old brother Miles had thin confidence in himself. He is a happy kid now. My 4-year-old brother Mason was skinny and ignorant. I was depressed, heartbroken, unaccomplished. Not anymore. I'm very successful. I'm here at KBOO, and it is like a fifth home to me. I'm trying to become a DJ and a music producer. I'm backed by a loving uncle and aunt, taught by smart grandparents, strengthened by a strong father, accompanied by trustworthy friends, and most of all, supported and raised by a mindful, smart, compassionate mother. I love you all. Get well soon, Mom. I love you. I will always be there for you. You will always be there for me. We're family. I love you all. Thank you for being here for me. And this has been Hunter Gray on the KBOO Youth Collective.
Thank you, Hunter. Now, we are going to learn about why you should support KBOO, because you should.
You totally should. You have to. It's powering the youth collective that you're listening to right now with such amazing stuff. And they're talking about stuff. And I can tell you about stuff, but first you have to call 877-500-5266. That is the stuff number. You can give us stuff. You can then get stuff in return for that. I'm looking for somebody to call and make a donation of $20 a month. That's $20 a month, and you get a sweet hoodie that shows your support of KBOO, and you can tell folks, hey, I support the Youth Collective. I got this styling hoodie because of it. That's 877-500-5266. If you give us a call right now, or if you don't feel like going on the phone and doing that thing, you can always go online. kboo.fm/give is the way to go. So I am a huge fan of the Youth Collective. I think the coolest cooler was a bit of a letdown in the actual thing it is. But I can tell you now, KBOO is so much better than the coolest cooler. We are the coolest of cool places ever. And if you call 877-500-5266, then we can tell you all about it. You can be part of the coolness because you know you want to. 877-500-5266. We will never let you down. We have great programming all the time. Like every single minute of every single day, every single year since 1968. 877-500-5266. If you want to perpetuate the making of amazing stuff, the audio stuff that goes over the airwaves as radio waves, as something invisible, you want to call 877-500-5266 because we make stuff, but not the kind of stuff that makes you not see the color yellow or, you know, gives you dry mouth. Although maybe I have one right now. It's cool. 877-500-5266. And you want to support KBOO and the Youth Collective. So is there any Youth Collective in there that are on a mic? Hey, I'm Becky, by the way.
Hello, Becky. I'm Jean.
Hey, Jean. You're a member of the Youth Collective. Do you love it?
I absolutely love it here. It's the greatest place I've found to make friends, and it's really a lot of fun.
Absolutely. I felt the same way when I first came to KBOO. I got to make friends. It was so cool to like learn how to make audio. I'd never really made radio in that kind of way before, where I got to like, you know, talk about things that were important to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm loving everything y'all are doing. So, and if you, dear listener, love what the Youth Collective is doing, you should call 877-500-5266.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Jean. Hey. So, yeah. All
right. And thank you for that rousing and invigorating speech about why KBOO is the greatest thing in the world, because it is. And now, speaking of the greatest things in the world, we're going to learn about advertisements and the crazy things that they do to mess with your head and make you buy stuff. So I'm going to turn the universe over to Maeve.
Hello there. My name is Maeve Z, and I'm here to talk about advertising technique. In our day and age, advertisements are everywhere. If you counted all the ads that you see in a day when you leave the house, you would most likely count up to double digits. Many people say that they are trying to be aware of the sneaky tricks and subliminal manipulations that advertisers are using, but just how aware are we? Many advertisers are taking a leap into science to discover how our brains work and use this in their ads. Today, I'm here to talk about some of the tricks that advertisers use to make us open our wallets. I think I'll start with something that's somewhat obvious. Companies invent our needs for things. Yeah, there will always be needs for things like clothes, food, furniture, and other similar items, but there are some things that we got along without until it became the quote-unquote thing to do. For example, the tradition of giving a diamond engagement ring has no historical significance, no cultural backstory, and no huge looming explanation other than profit. Much like the Hallmark holidays, the diamond ring tradition is a marketing ploy that has been over-emotionalized. It's ingrained in little girls' heads at a very young age that getting a diamond engagement ring is just what you're supposed to do. Let's move on to another one. You've probably noticed that a lot of low-quality fast food chains use similar color schemes. The McDonald's logo is red and yellow. Jack in the Box is red and white. Carl's Jr. is red and yellow. Burger King, Taco Bell, El Pollo Loco, KFC, Domino's Pizza, the list goes on. All of those fast food companies have red, yellow, or both in their logos, and those aren't even all of them. So why is that? Well, color theory is actually an established science, and advertisers can use this to their advantage. Certain colors make us feel a certain way. So what do red and yellow do? Red has been shown to, among other things, speed up the body's blood flow, thus increasing blood flow to the digestive system. This, in turn, speeds up the metabolism and increases hunger. In addition, red is a very eye-catching color, and so is yellow, especially when yellow is used against a red backdrop. So what about the other colors? Well, in a recent study, 40 undergraduate students, 20 females and 20 males, were asked to sample 4 drinks, each drink in a different color glass. Unknown to them, they were tasting the same drink 4 times, and yet the soda in the blue glass was rated much higher than the other 3. Okay, now we're going to take a look at a completely different trick, and that trick is mascots. Ask yourself this question. How would you market a product that is not tangible or is not easily relatable? You assign it a mascot. A near-perfect example of this trick is the Geico Gecko. I must grudgingly admit that the designers of the Geico mascot were absolutely brilliant. They connected a cute creature that people, even children, can easily recognize with car insurance. That's impressive. As soon as you see the gecko, your mind jumps to Geico, because not only do they sound similar, but you have been conditioned to associate the two ever since you saw that first advertisement for Geico. Yeah, even I can't help thinking car insurance whenever I see a gecko. Anthropomorphizing something is a great way to get people to connect to it, especially if it's something that's generally considered boring or isn't naturally human-like. Moving along, our expectations can also influence how we perceive something. For example, if you are expecting something to be bad, you may perceive it differently. There was another study as well in which wine tasters were asked to taste 2 wines and decide which one was better. The thing was, they were actually tasting the same wine poured from 2 different bottles, and yet one of the bottles was rated significantly higher than the other. What was the difference? One bottle was marked at a very expensive price and the other at a cheap price. The supposedly expensive wine was rated higher even though it was exactly the same as the supposedly cheap one. Our expectations can affect how we experience things, especially tastes. Another example study is the smoked salmon ice cream study, for want of a better name. Participants were asked to taste the same smoked salmon ice cream from 2 different bowls. When the food was labeled as ice cream, the participants disliked it more and rated it as being more salty. When the food was labeled as frozen savory mousse, the participants were more likely to feel neutral about it or have lesser feelings of dislike. This shows that when the food was labeled as ice cream, the participants associated the words with fruity, sweet flavors, and the salty flavor seemed more pronounced to them. On the other hand, the frozen savory mousse label adjusted their expectations, and the words were already associated with a salty flavor. Okay, I've got one last one for you before we wrap up. Have you ever paid attention to the layout of the standard chain grocery store? The milk is almost always near the back. While this does help the store load new deliveries of milk into the cases before it warms up, it serves another greater purpose as well. Every time you have to get milk, which I'm guessing is often, you have to walk through the rest of the store to get there, and you probably pass the cereal aisle, the candy section, and a number of other areas that encourage you to buy more. In addition to this, all of the sugary cereals aimed at kids are usually placed on the second or third shelf from the bottom, right at a little kid's eye level. All in all, there are a lot of tricks that advertisers can use to manipulate our senses. I've only covered a tiny fraction of the studies, experiments, tricks, and manipulations that are out there. I encourage you to do your research and be aware of these manipulations when they appear. Thank you. This is Maeve Z with the KABU Youth Collective.
Thank you for that, Maeve. That was super cool, and now I know that everything is trying to mess with my head. Speaking of things messing with your head, here's more Pledge Drive awesomeness! Woo!
That is an amazing segue, and we are not here to mess with your head. We are here to mess with your pocketbooks at 877-500-5266. I have a guest. Say hi.
Hi.
Hi, what's your name?
Liana.
Liana's here because Liana is a member of the Youth Collective too, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Will you please call and help me make Liana smile? 877-500-5266. Liana really wants you to call and support the Youth Collective, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, please do. Save a Liana.
Yeah, save a Liana, because otherwise it's just me talking, and that's going to be not so cool. Liana's the coolest out of the two of us here. But there are folks in the room over there. They're all youth. They're doing all sorts of cool radio. And at 877-500-5266, you can support their continued work. Liana, what's your favorite thing about the Youth Collective?
That everybody is so open-minded and just really can share their ideas and not be afraid.
Mm-hmm. I have to admit, in my life, I don't have very many youth that are like hanging out. I don't know many kids or many youth or anything. And
yeah.
So the Youth Collective is a way for me to, you know, find out what's sort of important to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of live in my own adult bubble, so I'm glad to share this with everybody. Hey, somebody's calling to make Liana smile. That's 877-500-5266.
Yes.
And we encourage you. Yes? There's a smile. I know it's radio and you can't see anything, but I can describe it to you. It is lovely. And she will smile more at 877-500-5266. We just heard a really cool piece about ad technique. I think that was a really awesome, insightful way to look at how, you know, commercial media and commercials in general sort of manipulate you into buying things that you don't need. You don't ever have to worry about that with KABU. KABU is free for everybody to listen to over the radio. And to keep it that way, call 877-500-5266. We are member supported. And with you becoming a member, that's how we can do it. 877-500-5266. I thought, did you hear the part about the Geico?
Yes.
Lizard thing?
The Geico gecko, yeah.
I thought that was really interesting. I've never heard of the idea of turning an animal into something more human would help us connect with an idea or concept more. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I haven't heard of it either, but I have to admit it is a good idea.
Yeah, well, and you see it in a bunch of other places too, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, you see it in ads on TV all the time. I mean, just even in random commercials, like the little Geico gecko guy will pop out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then you have, like, you know, TV and movies with anthropomorphized animals like Mickey Mouse or other ones that are, you know, sometimes doled out in order to, you know, praise a concept or get people to buy stuff. Speaking of that, 877-500-5266, we want you to buy support for the Youth Collective. They are amazing. Call 877-500-5266 this very moment, and then you will get another Liana smile.
Or you could get all of us to smile.
Well, what would that... What do you think would take for that? How about a $500 pledge? If you make a $500 call right now at 877-500-5266 for $500, all of the Youth Collective will smile.
And they will thank you in their heads. They'll be extremely thankful.
Yes, and I will thank you on the air on their behalf, but maybe Liana will do it too.
And thank you for that. I am super excited to smile. I haven't smiled in such a long time. I could really use that $500, guys. Speaking of not smiling, here's another great segue. We're going to learn about cattle production. Yay! Let's do that.
The meat and farming industry is one of the biggest industries in the world and easily one of the most misunderstood. We think we know exactly what's in the meat we buy and eat and exactly how it's prepared and slaughtered. Cows are fed grass in big pastures and slaughtered in what's described as a humane way and brought straight to the grocery store where we buy and eat them, right? The sad truth of the matter is in fact quite exactly the opposite. The cows we eat do in fact live majorly outdoors. However, their lives are not happy, nor are they as comfortable as we'd like to think. They don't spend their lives grazing either, since cows naturally live around 25 years, but are slaughtered on factory farms at just 1 to 3 years of life. They have to be fed in a way that will make them gain weight quickly. This includes a diet of grain, which is very unnatural for cows and incredibly hard on their bodies. They live a short life in pain, without even being given shelter in most cases. And that's just adult beef cattle. Veal is an entirely more painful process. Young male calves are taken from their dairy cow mothers the day of their birth, and isolated for the rest of their short lives from all other cows and physical contact. Their diets and movements are heavily restricted and closely monitored so that their meat is tender and pale upon slaughter. Which brings another false concept fed to us by cattle farmers. The idea of humane slaughter. Sounds like kind of an oxymoron, doesn't it? Unfortunately, it is even in reality. The ways in which animals are slaughtered are actually far more brutal than we'd like to allow ourselves to believe. Pigs and calves are given a fatal shot in the head. What about that exactly is humane? The cruelty with which animals are treated is not the only problem kept secret by the industries. This harsh process has dramatic effects on our environment. Cows produce methane gas naturally, other known as a greenhouse gas, which is much like carbon dioxide, except that its negative effect is almost 23 times the amount of CO2. With the scale that cows are being mass-produced at, and with each cow producing between 70 and 120 kilograms of methane per year, the mass production of cows in the meat industry is one of the biggest contributors to global warming. If you haven't lived under a rock for the past 120 years, you probably know that global warming is bad. Make smart choices about your choice products of consumption. Like with any product, always remain aware of what its industries may be hiding.
That was very enlightening. I now know about the toils of the meat industry. By the way, you should totally call 877-500-5266 and let us smile and ignore the meat industry for a little while we smile. I am a poet. And now we are going to hear another piece, and this is about anti-consumerism songs. Take it away.
I'm Jack, and this is my piece on consumerism. There are lots of media that highlight or point out strengths of consumerism. I'm going to introduce you to songs that are more anti-consumerism. First, we have the current pop star Lorde, who in her song Royals sings about the joys of a simpler lifestyle and how we often over-glamorize wealth. Next up, we once again find the Beatles writing a song to help prove our point. In their early hit, Can't Buy Me Love, they point out what many fail to discover. Money is not the means to find true happiness. Rapper Macklemore and his music partner Ryan Lewis sings a song called Wings, but when he was a kid and felt like he had to have the cool $100 shoes like everyone else. Now as an adult, those shoes and the companies who sell them only make him feel used and manipulated. He's probably not getting any free samples from Nike these days. From 1997, we have Bittersweet Symphony. From the Verve, they outline the harshness of our consumer culture, pointing out that we are slaves to money. Then we die, suggesting that it's a bittersweet symphony.
It's a bittersweet symphony.
The song Anthony Song by the piano man Billy Joel, he laments over the fact that his neighbors do everything they can to obtain material things to keep up with each other. Billy decides that if they is moving up, he's moving out.
Seems such a waste of time, if that's what it's all about. If that's moving up, then I'm moving out.
These songs have all provide food for the thought regarding the kind of influence that consumerism can have. Each of us must decide what is important to us. This is Jack Ellison with the K-Bit Youth Collective.
Okay, that was Jack. And I forgot to mention earlier that the cattle piece was done by Mallory. And do you want to know how you can help us not forget these names? There's just one number you need to call to help us remember what these people's names are, and it...
877-500-5266.
Yeah, we're gonna do that. Next up is a piece. It's an interview done by two awesome people, and we will learn about it in the piece itself.
Please introduce yourself and tell us what you do as a part of the Oregon Jewish Community Youth Foundation.
I'm Derek. I go to Riverdale High School, and I'm 16. In OJCYF, I meet with organizations and then try and learn all I can about them. And then I go back, like, consult with all the other teen members and explain to them what the organization's about, like, what their mission statement is something that we focus on, what they'd use our money with. And then we talk about how to allocate a certain amount of money to a bunch of organizations, and then I can either advocate or not advocate for the organization I met with.
When did it start, and what kinds of work do you do?
OJCYF started 13 years ago. The kind of work that we do, we fundraise a bunch of money, and then we give that money to nonprofit organizations.
So I know that you said that you get it from, like, fundraisers and stuff like that. Is there a possible way for you to be more specific?
Yeah, so the biggest fundraising thing that we do is our dinner. We invite a bunch of people who we know are interested in donating, and then at the end of the dinner, we play some sort of game. It's kind of like an auction, but the opposite. It's because they're not buying anything, they're donating money, so they start off at the highest price. And someone on stage will say, who wants to give, like, $2,500? Mm-hmm. And then certain people raise their number card, and then that number will be written down, and then those people will be recorded on saying that they'll give X amount of money to the organization. And then at the end of those nights, we normally come away with a significant amount of money, and that's where most of our fundraising comes from.
Cool. Can you tell us about some of the organizations that you fund?
An example of one that we most recently met with is Community Warehouse. They're kind of like a furniture food bank. They take in furniture that's either unused or unwanted, and then they donate to people who need it. And they especially focus on people who are, like, being rehabilitated back into society and who have, like, nothing. Like, they're getting started all over again. So people are coming out of, like, the prison system or out of, like, relationships that involve domestic violence, and they need to, like, start all over again. And so Community Warehouse gives them, like, what they need to have, like, an okay living situation to get them started.
What is your favorite part about being involved?
The responsibility I'm given, because a lot of organizations that teens can volunteer for, you're kind of just given, like, a bunch of busy work. And at OJCYF, you're given, like, a certain amount of responsibility. You're handling, like, other people's money and making decisions with that money. And it's, like, thousands of dollars, too. So that's responsibility that's really unique to OJCYF, and I really enjoy that. We're also, like, able to, like, set up site visits, which are when we meet with organizations. And it's our responsibility to, like, coordinate a time that works with the organization or, like, meet with the organization on our own. Like, there aren't any adults with us. And we are given, like, ultimate choice and responsibility as to where the money goes to and how we use the money and what organizations we fund. Like, that's not, no adult has a say in that, and that's really unique.
How can people get involved as either participants or grantees?
So as participants, to apply, there's two upcoming meetings, one on May 1st, one on May 19th, where they can get all the information and then the application page. What you actually do, or what I have done to apply, is you write some sort of essay about what OJCYF means to you thus far, or if you're applying for the first year, you write about, like, things that you want to accomplish in the organization. And to become a grantee, you also just go to the website, and there's information there about how to get started and become involved with the organization. And even though OJCYF is a Jewish, like, organization, we donate to all nonprofits.
Is there anything else you'd like to talk about that we didn't ask you?
OJCYF is, like, a group of, like, a lot of teenagers who have come together and committed to wanting to learn about philanthropy. And along with just donating money and fundraising money, we also learn about the process of giving and, like, certain things about charity. For example, we learn about, like, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. That's something we apply to charities when we, like, are looking at them and considering whether or not to donate money. That's pretty much like a ranking of certain needs that an organization might give someone, I guess, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just a bunch of teenagers who've come together, committed to learning about philanthropy. And I think that's really unique, and it's one of my favorite parts. And another one of my favorite parts of OJCYF is the relationships you can build with certain organizations. For example, after you do a site visit, your relationship with that organization can go beyond OJCYF. Like, if you're really a fan of what that organization's doing and you want to get involved, OJCYF can be, like, a platform for you to go out and find new organizations that you can get involved with in the community.
Sounds great. And lastly,
what's your contact information?
You can contact the director at SoniaMarieL@OJCF.org. And also there's information on OJCF.org.
Thank you so much for coming in. This is
Thank you for having me.
Liana.
And
Derek.
For the KBOO Youth Collective.
Yes.
That was Liana and Becky, and now we'll be heading back to Liana for the KBOO Youth Collective.
Yes.
Thank you, Cyrus, for donating $50. You just made KBOO Youth Collective Woo! Smile. Yay! So please be more like Cyrus and call 877-500-5266. Please make us smile.
Yeah, there's so many smiles to be had and not enough opportunities to do it.
But if you call 877-500-5266, then it's going to work. Everyone's going to smile. We'll just smile upon smile upon smile. If you support KBOO Community Radio in this way, you're supporting the Youth Collective to continue making amazing audio pieces and radio like this. And they do it all themselves. In fact, I'm sitting next to our most recent producer, interviewer, Liana. How was that? Was that cool?
Yeah, that was really cool, actually. It was fun to be a part of doing that sort of thing, because, yeah.
I know. I thought you asked a bunch of really great questions, too. Like, I would have never known that that group had existed if it weren't for your part in that, so that's cool.
Thank you. Yeah, so please just make us smile. We need more smiles here. Mm-hmm. We're getting sad again. Cyrus's call was a long time ago, and we need smiles. So please,
877-500-5266. In fact, we're even beyond no smiles. We're starting to sound really sad too, with sad sounding voices.
Sniff sniff.
Oh man, you should call 877-500-5266 and
please.
And we'll definitely make with the smiley sounds and smiley faces and stuff.
Please make a Liana smile today.
Make a Liana smile right now. 877-500-5266.
Again, that's 877-500-5266. So please, all you have to do is pull out your phone and your wallet and please call us.
Yeah, support the KBOO Youth Collective. We in fact documented the smile that Cyrus helped us make, and we can do that for you too. 877-500-5266.
Come on, we want to love you, but we can only do that if you call us at 877-500-5266.
We kind of love you already, but how are we going to know you love us?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like reciprocity.
So yes, please. Thanks again, Cyrus.
Mm-hmm. 877-500-5266. That's the number.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for saying that number many times. And please donate at 877-500-5266. If you could do that, that'd put a smile on all of our faces here at the KBOO Youth Collective. And next we have a piece on consumerism.
For better or worse, it's what drives everything in America.
What do you think about consumerism?
I think it's great, personally. I think it has to be done in a reasonable way, though. To be honest, the economy wouldn't work without consumerism. I mean, that's just the way it is. However, we're out of whack right now. The balance between, you know, how much people have to spend and how much people can spend, you know, how much people who have too much, you know, the whole economic adjustment. So we need consumerism for the economy to function. However, at the moment, we just have a balance system where too many people profit at the top and the people at the bottom don't have enough to actually consume.
Yeah. What do you think of consumerism?
Consumerism is when, well, there's like, you have to consume things. I can't talk. You have to consume things like as a human being, but there's also like an extent of consumerism. Like you, on Black Friday, you'll go out and like kill people for like that TV you wanted, which is like the biggest extent to consumerism, which is different than normal consumerism. So that's what I think.
So what do you think of consumerism?
Well, Kate was really consuming a whole lot of stuff right now, but putting together this new studio.
Consumerism is this thing where you consume her ism. And that, I think that's kind of weird and gross. Because why would we consume things when we can just share stuff? Let's share and be share people.
Good answer. So what do you think about consumerism?
I think that this country used to be a democracy and we had citizens in it participating in a democracy. It has ceased to be that long ago. When it was a democracy, people got together and talked face-to-face and one-on-one and in groups, and they organized and they knew of each other's problems. They looked after each other. That was what citizens do in a democracy. They didn't ask, they were not asked how they feel about a candidate. Excuse me, I've got this on my teeth. About how they feel about a candidate. They were asked what they think about the candidate. We are no longer have that kind of a society. Now we have a capitalist or a kleptocracy, and in the kleptocracy you don't have citizens in the sense that we used to in democracy. We now have citizens of the self. People are only responsible and only care about themselves. We are consumers. Have you noticed they always broadcast the consumer confidence report? Who gives a bugger about consumer confidence, right? Right? Consumer confidence, that means that what that tells you is that Wall Street, they're the raw material that is fed into Wall Street's buzzsaw. That's all they are. They are as much hamburger as soldiers are hamburger. They are consumers, and they live in a capitalist society. That's why you could end up with an election like this. Now, and the trouble is with consumers is they consume. They eat, and they, in other words, they consume products, right? And they create, they generate what? Waste, right? They don't do anything else. They don't in any way, shape, or form do anything good for their country, their society, anything beyond their immediate family. They only are concerned with themselves and getting what they can. They're perfect for a capitalist society because here's what they do. They go to school, they generate huge debt. They're terrified, and they spend the rest of their life trying to get rid of the debt. That's what teaches them to consume. They learn that they have to keep their, you know, nose to the grindstone. They have to work hard. Why? Because they have to make money. Why? So they can buy stuff. So they consume. So they can. And that is what is killing the planet. That and people, we're breeding too much. We're breeding ourselves to extinction. We don't have. It used to be that we could make the argument that, oh well, these such and such people, that's their cultural thing to have 12 kids. No, not anymore. Not anymore. I'm sorry, but that is a luxury that we can no longer afford. Is limitless expansion. We cannot keep up. We cannot sustain this kind of growth. When we talk about sustainability, we should be talking about population. It's what's killing us right now. It's choking the planet. We have exhausted every single resource that we've ever had. We've exhausted all natural resources, and we're beginning to turn our attention to extremely unnatural resources. That's what consumerism is.
Thank you for listening to my Vox Pop on consumerism. I'm glad you stayed listening to the radio to listen to this, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the show. This is Elizabeth from the KABU Youth Collective, and I hope you have a nice rest of the day.
That was a short couple interviews about the importance of consumerism and whether or not they actually thought that it was important or that it corrupts. And next is a piece by an amazing person named Tristan.
Fast food.
Many studies have come out saying that it is very unhealthy and one of the leading causes of obesity in America, and yet it is still a fastly growing industry. Why? Well, for some very obvious reasons. In a study from 2008, 600 people were interviewed and would either disagree or agree with certain statements. Not surprisingly, 92 of them said that they went to fast food places because they were quick, and a lot of people were very busy and don't have time to make food for themselves. Other reasons, obviously, would include location, price, and taste. And ever since the first McDonald's opened in 1955, the demand for quick, cheap, tasty foods has only got up. That demand has brought over 35,000 restaurants into existence. Because the amount of locations fast food has, it is very easy to get fast food, and because fast food is so fast to be able to deliver it, it takes no time at all. And most of us can agree that fast food tastes pretty good. It is very salty and sweet, two of the most desirable tastes. And although it's not very healthy, it's very salty and sweet, two flavors that are very common. And it's because that fast food is full of salt, fat, and sugar, as those are the main reasons of your taste buds and some of the most desirable tastes that we have, that fast food becomes so popular. And not to mention, fast food places are everywhere. Strip malls, downtown, in the middle of nowhere, you can still get your favorite burger at McDonald's. And the availability and those other factors has led to this unhealthy food eating to take the world by storm. And the side effects of these businesses are huge. They cut down rainforest to produce room for cattle, and cattle farms are very inhumane to the cows that they have there. And not to mention, it's very inhumane to ourselves in that it gives our obesity rates very high. And while it may taste good at times, I'd like everyone to try and consider about what you eat and where it comes from and how it affects you and the environment around you. This is Tristan for KBOO. And that was Tristan from KBOO, and this is Tristan from KBOO. And next, we're going to have some more smiles from the pledge drive.
Well, we will if you call 877-500-5266.
Please, this is your last chance to donate to the KBOO Youth Collective. Come on, pick up those cell phones and make some people smile here.
Indeed, you can even pick up your whole wired landline thing and call 877-500-5266. I think there are even online ways you can call 877-500-5266.
Yeah, why did they create cell phones if not to help out a couple people in need of a smile?
That's exactly right. And boy, do we need them. 877-500-5266. And we can become a virtual smile factory, but not a consumerist one. No, we are genuine. This is genuine. Smiles for miles, smiles for days, smiles actually 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Smiles for years.
Gee.
I'm almost 10 years old, and you will make me smile for the rest of my life just by picking up that cell phone and calling 877-500-5266. That's again, 877-500-5266.
You can't get much better than KBOO Youth Collective programming. This is amazing stuff made entirely by the youth and all about the stuff that they care about, which is awesome. And also, I didn't know any of that information before about, you know, fast food in that way.
Yeah.
And they had the Vox Pop. That was pretty cool. I mean, all of this show has been amazing. So show your support. 877-500-5266.
I mean, honestly, I don't think you can get any better than KBOO. I mean, what else have you got if you don't have KBOO? KBOO is my life.
Yep.
Now, do you want to make my life better or worse? Please, just pick up that cell phone. Pick it up right now and call 877-500-5266.
Can we do it one more time together? Ready? 1, 2, 3.
877-500-5266.
That's the number. Boom.
Thank you, guys. And that little girl you've been hearing throughout this whole thing is my little sister, Liana. And this next piece is about candy, and it's by her.
Hello, my name is Liana Krill, and my piece is called What Type of Candy? I chose my piece because I wanted to take a survey, and everyone knows that kids love candy. On that note, my piece is about candy. I took a survey at my school to see which type of candy kids like most. My results all came out very different, so I decided that I would categorize my results into three different categories. My categories were chocolate, soft candy, and hard candy. All of my results fit into a category. Now I'm going to get a little bit into the history of kids and candy. The history of candy bars began in 1847. The first chocolate bar was made in Britain by Joseph Fry and his son, who pressed a paste made of cocoa powder and sugar into a bar shape.
The chocolate bar was further developed in 1849 when John Cadbury introduced his brand of the chocolate bar. The most common candy in the chocolate category was Hershey's, the most common candy in the soft candy category was Sour Patch Kids, and the most common candy in the hard candy category was Airheads. Very surprisingly, only 3 people out of 44 people chose hard candy. And as for chocolate, 20 people out of 45 chose chocolate. And last but not least, for soft candy, 21 people chose soft candy. In other words, 6% of people would like hard candy the best, 46% of people would like chocolate the best, and 47% of people would like soft candy the best. In conclusion, I hope you have enjoyed my short but sweet piece, learning about the history of candy and about the survey I took at my school. This is Liana Krill for the KBOO Youth Collective.
And as she just said, that was Liana Krill for the KBOO Youth Collective. Again, that number is for the KBOO Youth Collective is 877-500-5266. And next we have Jean.
Thank you for listening to The Underground. The Underground is hosted every fourth Wednesday by the KBOO Youth Collective. We meet every Wednesday at KBOO at 6 p.m. to plan our show. If you're interested in getting involved, come on down or call our youth advocate Aaron Yankee at 503-231-8032. Extension 22221, or email youth at kboo.org. We also do a music show, the youth edition of 1212, which airs the second Friday of every month from 8 to 10 p.m. We're always looking for music by anyone under 21 or of any style. And check out our website, kboo.fm/the underground, or kboo.fm/youth. Next up is Hard Knock Radio with Davey D. Thanks for listening!